This is a New York Press podcast. Visit nypress.com for the newest articles, features, and other feedback podcasts.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Feedback, the podcast, and our first cast with New York Press. For people who are new to the podcast, every episode we introduce you to one of New York's emerging bands, mixing together live concert clips with interviews, commentary, and other sonic stuff for the world's first totally audible concert review. Our mission is to make New York's bands a little bigger while making its scene a little smaller. Enjoy. You're listening to Feedback, the podcast. This issue's artist, comedian Reggie Watts, live at Le Poisson Rouge.
Okay, here we go. Okay. No. Is it?
You probably don't know the name Reggie Watts, but pretty soon, you will. Reggie's a new kind of surrealist comedian who defies being pigeonholed. He recently nabbed his big break opening for Conan O'Brien on his national Legally Prohibited from Being Funny on Television tour, which took Reggie's brand of loopy performance art to full stadiums in over 30 cities across the country, including two sold-out shows at Radio City Music Hall. For the first time in over 15 years of performing, an audience outside of New York's performance underground and entertainment business elite are tuning into Reggie's stream of consciousness lampooning, and it seems like the rest of America is finally ready to get the joke. Reggie's comedy is eccentrically original, a mostly improvised subconscious hip-hop mashup, using two effects pads and one mic to create layered impromptu musical gems. His topics range from lampooning hipsters.
Thanks a lot for coming down again. I had a couple openers tonight. Santi. One of the Sants.
To exploring the microscopic reality of humans as clumps of self-aware molecules.
And that's like one of those things where you're like, oh my God, you know, but nonetheless, that's probably how it is.
To humor completely devoid of anything resembling a traditional joke. This originality is both a blessing and a curse. It's taken Watts over a decade of performing and touring to emerge from the underground with his novel approach to comedy intact. But now that he has, the world is lining up to shake his hand.
Stand-up has been a part of my past, but I've always been the oddball. Like, is that stand-up? I don't know if that's stand-up.
Have you found that that's kind of changing now? That people are actually paying attention to what you're doing as comedy?
I think so. I mean, people are... It's always been the big fear is like acceptance. Will people buy this as comedy? You know, but then I come back to if people are laughing, it's comedy. It doesn't matter whether you call it stand up or sketch or impersonation or whatever. I like combining all of those things together, but not really arriving at necessarily a result that would come from that.
On July 1st, Reggie performed at a sold-out CD release party for his new album, Why Shit's So Crazy, at Le Poisson Rouge, a music and performance art venue in Greenwich Village. Boyishly nimble despite his six-foot frame, Reggie's storm cloud of an afro bobbed around his childishly serene face as he glided on stage. With his rounded belly and truly unruly hair, Reggie looks a bit like a spry troll doll, his mane flowing just behind every surprise jolt of his animated body. Segging into one of his ironic monologues, Reggie delighted the audience with his ludicrously deadpan banter, delivering nonsensical twists with an unflinching straight face.
I believe in a better future. One built of children. Entirely of children. The future where everything is built of children. The tables that we use, the glasses, all just annealed and hardened versions of children. And imagine a world built of children. It would be pretty gross, but at least you know what it was made of. And that's why I wrote this song.
Hope you guys like it.
Here, Reggie launches into a puffed-out Michael McDonald-style ballad about the mundaner side of domestic partnerships. Scrubbing stale toothpaste from the sink, opening cereal boxes in the correct resealable manner, and keeping the living room tidy for unexpected company.
Fitting you, and when my friends come over to visit, yes, you got your bras and your panties all hanging off of everything. How am I supposed to conduct a serious conversation? And I know that bras and panties are part of your life. I know that they are a realistic part of your base of operations, babe. And I know that you gotta wash them and you gotta dry them, but may you find another system too.
At this point, Reggie leans back on his piano bench and appears to take a nap mid-chord, apparently knocked out by his own soothing melody. The unexpected intermission is more than just a great send-up of pompous balladeers. It's also part of what makes Reggie's act so enjoyable. The audience is never quite sure what to expect because, in all honesty, Reggie really isn't either. According to Reggie, about 90% of his act is completely improvised and off the cuff.
Do you know what you're going to do before you're going out on stage, before that night?
No, not at all. I mean, I try to, there's a call for a sound check. I fuck around a sound check, with something, and just make sure all the levels are good. And then after that, I just kind of do stuff that has nothing to do with the show until I go on stage. And if I'm going, or when I'm about to go on stage, or even 10 minutes before that, I'll think like, oh, I'm in Australia. Maybe I'll do this kind of a thing. But even that might not happen. Because as soon as I'm walking on stage, I'm like, kind of like, if like there's a ghost of structure inside of myself, I kind of walk too fast and it just gets left behind and just kind of fades away. And then the new me is up there like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, pick up the microphone. Hey guys, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, this is what it's going to be, you know. It's literally that. It's, yeah.
So what's that feeling like? Because to me, that sounds terrifying.
Uh-huh.
Like.
No, it's exciting for me because I'm, in essence, I'm kind of entertaining myself by not knowing what I'm going to do. I just have to, like, an idea. I'm creating a basic idea that floats out in front, and then that idea then informs the next idea. So, in a way, I'm kind of leading myself, but also watching it or listening to it. Like, I'm kind of part audience member, part performer.
Que merda que atolou. E nem me quero agarrar.
All of Reggie's loop tunes, like the one you just heard, are made using one microphone, one effects pad, and one looping pedal, capturing the vocal palpitations of his beatboxing on stage. Every sound is organic. The noise is expelled from Reggie's neck upward. Nothing from his show is pre-recorded or, aside from his songs on piano, produced with an instrument. Here's how Reggie builds his tracks. First, he creates a beat using tongue clicks and throaty puffs of air in place of percussion. Next, he records it by pressing a button on his loop pedal. Here. Now the beat is being recorded. When he presses that button again, the beat is captured and begins repeating live on stage. Now he's free to add in layers like a vocal bass line, or an oral shaker to push the beat forward. Once the foundation's in place, he can twist and turn the tune in all sorts of ways, like slowing things way down, creating his own harmonizing backup singers, tweaking the stereo, or remixing his own vocals live.
Yo, DJ, rewind!
I've always performed. You know, I was an only child. I performed for my parents, you know. When I was at school, I was a class clown. When I was on the playground, I was performing. Like, I was always performing. Like, I always remember being this. Mm-hmm. This particular organization of molecules, I always remember being this way in life. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. It's a different three chords. Here we go. There's also this one too. You guys remember this one? Thank you. I love you too. Sometimes we get attacked by eagles. A lot, especially here in New York City. And when we hear that screeching sound and the ruffling of wind upon feathers, coming down at a rate that is so quick that it terrifies us and causes us to freeze and be immobilized on the hard concrete, those are the times we're truly alive. This is one of those songs that goes like what you heard after it's finished. What the fuck is with that big ass purse? I don't understand what the hell's up with the big ass purse. What you got inside there? Maybe another purse inside the purse. Maybe another purse inside of the purse, inside the purse, just in case you don't remember what a purse looks like, oh yeah. And the way that you explain it, you say, well, if you're in a bathroom and your friend wants to put on some makeup, but there really isn't a mirror, cause all of the other girls are trying to adjust themselves, and there's no space to really do what you need to do. So you reach into your big ass purse and you avoid the other purse that's in the way of the bottom of the real purse that you know has possesses what you need to give to your friend. And you reach in and give her an old compact, and she snaps it open, and ooh, there's a mirror there, yes, and that is a secret, yeah, 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 yeah. You take half as long, and the
bathroom, so you help to dismiss the stereotype of women taking long time in the bathroom, so you can just suck and shut the fuck up, cause I've got this all under control.
Reggie improvised his funniest songs tonight on piano, which couldn't quite match the ability of his beatbox thought balloons to create intoxicatingly strange and hysterical moments. Though there were still plenty of amazing points tonight, like Reggie's silly heckler rebuttal.
I know a lot of you guys have been writing in about that too, like, what happened to the minuets? And so I'm going to be doing a couple of those. Do one in D, maybe one in F, if we get lucky. I might transpose one to G flat as well, so we'll see how that affects you. G flat! I love G flat too.
Or his wanky over the top drum fills, concluding a Journey style ballad. Which led to robust spurts of beatboxing. Which devolves into an embarrassingly accurate aural depiction of,
what?
Well, we'll call it downtown finesse.
Hold on up.
Pretty good.
How about that?
The show wrapped on Reggie's signature closer and only unimprovised tune, a boisterous gangster rap farce called Fuck Shit Stack. Over a huffing backbeat and fat-bounding bass line, Reggie's lyrics methodically speared hip-hop's three most time-honored cliches: unattainable image, abounding chauvinism, and ferocious materialism, all with Reggie's trademark surrealist wit and a bucket full of profanity.
Check it. Shit, motherfucker, ass tits, cunt, cock, motherfucker, shit, ass tits, motherfucker, shit, come on. You take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be. You take that fuck up off of the wall, put it down on the floor with the shit in a glass bowl. What? Yo, here's another little piece of advice, boys. It takes some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got a fuck shit stack, a fuck shit stack. Take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got a fuck shit stack, a fuck shit stack. It's a stack of fuck shit on top of itself, nigga. I make references to weaponry, ancient or new. I wear bulletproof vests for no apparent reason other than to create a false sense of importance of which I can never retain on my own. I like to create a buffer memory of incredulity so y'all motherfuckers can never get near to me. I'm a cartoon character. You'll never be able to be like me. Me. I'm a materialist. I'm a materialist. I'll take a piece of shit car and I'll lower the motherfucker. Put some 18-inch rims on the motherfucker. Take some neon, put it underneath the motherfucker. So when I roll around this town, it looks like a hover. I like to take a flat panel display monitor. Put one on the steering column, one inside of the glove box, one on top of the dashboard, two in back of the headrest, one mounted in the ceiling, two still in the motherfucking packaging on the motherfucking back seat. So when my motherfucking friends go and sit on the shit and break it, I can honestly say I just don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. You take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got a fuck shit stack, a fuck shit stack. Take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got a fuck shit stack, a fuck shit stack. Take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got. Take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit. You got. You take some fuck, then some shit, then some fuck, then some shit you got. It's a stack of fuck shit on top of itself, nigga. Yo, yo, where my girls at? Where my girls at? Where my grills at? Where my grills at? Where my girls at? Where my girls at? Where my grills at? Where my grills at?
Back in Reggie's hotel room during our interview, Reggie chatted about Lady Gaga and how he hopes she'll follow through with the performance artist aesthetic she's fashioned and do something unthinkably different as her next move, or, in keeping with the same offbeat mindset she portrays, simply walk away from the fame monster she's conjured as a fitting final twist on her fans, which I thought would be a pretty cool second act for the pop star. So I asked him, if Reggie hit everything he's shooting for, achieving the highest goals he set for his rising career, would he then do the same and walk away? His answer, not surprisingly, has one eye focused on maintaining a long relationship with his caring fans, and the other on planting a sturdy foundation where he can grow a lasting and ambitious comedy career.
It's not that I would walk away. I would never want to shit on my audience. Like, that's never something I would want to do. Like, I care too much about my audience and about just people in general. I want everyone to have a good time. But I definitely would strive, if something's getting too out of balance, if a muscle's getting overdeveloped and I'm missing out on these other muscles, I need to do something to balance the equation. So this will never happen, but if I was like in a lot of mainstream movies, you know, and doing all these crazy things, you know, I would want to make sure that I'm also doing other things to remind people that I'm also this as well, so that I'm not just this one thing. I see that in other people, and I'm like, if I were in their situation, I'd be like, no, that needs to change. Like, why would you? No. Where are you going to expand from there? How are you going to grow from that? And that's when, like, people, stars and people like that start to worry about their relevance and, like, you know, where was the...
Then a strange thing happens.
Oh, Peter Serafinowicz. Hold on 1 second.
In the middle of Reggie discussing his prospective hopes for the future, Peter Serafinowicz, a well-known British comedian, calls Reggie's cell phone.
Peter Serafinowicz.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Peter's starter appeared in a slew of British TV shows and movies, including his own BBC sketch comedy show, The Peter Serafinowicz Show. Most famously in America, he played Simon Pegg's stuffy roommate who succumbs to zombieism in the hilarious British zombie spoof, Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, come by, man.
Peter's calling to talk about acting in Reggie's sketch comedy show pilot, which Reggie's currently producing for Comedy Central.
Just text me and, I'm just finishing up here in my room. So.
In the middle of Reggie pondering his future career plans, this phone call is literally his future calling him up to chat.
You know Peter Serafinowicz is?
No.
He's the voice of Paul McCartney in the new CGI Yellow Submarine.
They agree to meet down in the lobby to talk about working together on the show. We say goodbye, and in the hotel's lobby, Reggie spots Peter, a towering figure standing in the courtyard. With a burst of agility, Reggie springs forward, weaving through outdoor diners like a Mario Kart veteran, attracting the bewildered stares of courtyard guests as his afro whizzes by. When he reaches Peter, he tosses aside an ordinary human's formal introductory handshake, and, with a sly grin, embraces his startled future with an indomitable bear hug. Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can buy Reggie's new hilarious CD and DVD, Why Shit So Crazy, on his website, reggiewatts.com, and find out when he's playing next near you. For other feedback, podcasts, and the full Reggie Watts interview, where you can hear Reggie talk about what he learned from touring with Conan O'Brien, his views on the oil spill, and many, many other things, visit zachdinerstein.wordpress.com, where you can also subscribe to this podcast and have it delivered straight to your iTunes each time it's released. A huge thanks to Reggie Watts and his management staff for the interview and all of their help with this piece. Thanks to Bryce Rosenbloom and the staff at the beautiful Le Poisson Rouge for the show recording and all their hospitality. Thanks to Jesse Louder for being my go-to mastering guy. and to Georgie Caldwell and Barbara Adams for their invaluable support and guidance. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Word. Adjective. Pronoun. Adverb. Run on and on.